This recording is from Willow Creek Church in Winter Springs, Florida, where Dr. Pete Allinson is our senior pastor. Today's sermon is part 15 in a series on the Gospel of John. This message is taken from John chapter 6 and is titled Soul Security, Confidence for Bold Living. Now here's Pete with today's message.
I forgot to mention at the beginning of the second service today that Brandon Cottleman was leading us in worship as the Jeff Vogan and his family are on vacation, and how great it is to have Brandon leading us in worship with the worship team. So thank you, worship team. And Brandon is our assistant youth pastor and director of student worship. He does a great job, a great heart, and we're glad that he is on our team. Well, I don't know much about racing except how to drive faster than I probably ought to. Now, I know I'm not the only one because they see you driving around too. Yeah, you think I'm the only one on display. I see you driving around. And I don't know much about NASCAR, but I've been around for a while, and I remember that guy, Jackie Stewart. He was the number one Formula race car driver back in the 60s and 70s. I know, it dates me, but there it is. He's recently written his autobiography. He's 68, and his book is Winning is Not Enough. And he says in the book, he says, what we have in Formula One motor racing today is heaven. What we had in the late 1960s and the early 1970s was hell. That's about the only time a pastor can cuss in church is when he quotes somebody else. What's he talking about? He's talking about the subject of security, isn't he? And race car driving today is a lot more secure than it was when he was driving. In fact, from 1963 to 1973, he counts 57 of his friends and colleagues who were killed in the motor racing industry just during his short reign. And so in this book, he tells a lot about that, but he also tells the time when he finally told his wife that he was getting out. And his protege and friend, Francois Sivert, was just killed in practice for the U.S. Grand Prix. And he said, honey, I'm quitting. And through her tears, she said, now we can grow old together. Boy, I tell you, I think that's probably what we want, all of us. We want the kind of security where we all can just grow old and enjoy life and enjoy all there is. But our life is a lot like the motor race industry. It's fast and it's furious and it's dangerous. It's fast, it's furious, and it's dangerous, and I think the world today is more dangerous than it's ever been before. Growing up, I don't know. Look at all that we do to try to find security. For people who want to be free, we sure spend a lot of time on security issues. We have police going down our neighborhood. For some of us, that's a good thing. I like it when police drive down through my neighborhood. I know that they're checking on things. We spend so much money on security issues. Somebody gave me this, a good friend who knows I like all things guy. And they didn't know I was preaching on this today, but they gave it to me today. I don't really know what I'm going to do with this, except, isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? This goes beyond security, doesn't it? This goes into aggressiveness. Which is kind of cool. She said it came from Pakistan. Somebody that she knows brought it back from Iraq. Maybe it was confiscated over there. I like it. I think I need to probably have a permit to carry this around. I think it may be worth getting a permit to carry that around. All things secure. I would feel a little bit more secure about that. I had that off. Look at the money we spend on security. Since the Great Depression, we've got security around our bank accounts. We've got insurance. That's security. What is that? That's security. We're constantly looking for most important things you own. You got insurance on them because you don't want to lose them. You protect your home. Some of you guys live in gated communities. Some of you have automatic alarms and all that kind of stuff. My southern friend sent me this, how to install a home security system in the South. This is just free for me to you today, because if you're looking for a security system, this is the way. Four steps. Number one, go to a secondhand store and buy a pair of men's work boots size 14 to 16. Place them on your front porch, along with a copy of Guns and Ammo magazine. Put a few giant dog dishes next to the boots and the magazine, and leave fourthly a note on the door that reads like this. Hey, Bubba, Big Jim, Duke, and Slim. I went for more shotgun shells to pick up my check from the slaughterhouse. Be back in an hour. Don't mess with the pit bulls. Don't know what got into them, but they attacked the mailman this morning and messed him up real bad. I don't think Killer took part in it, but it was hard to tell from all the blood. Anyway, I locked all four of them in the house. Better wait out here on the porch. Signed, Cooter. I think that would work here, even in Orlando. We, for people that want to be free, we spend a lot of money, a lot of energy, a lot of effort on security. I told you about when I went to Israel several years ago. I was interviewed four times by agents of the Israeli government. I'm convinced, no, they were not flight attendants. They were agents of the Israeli government. Four times. I know I look a little suspicious. But everybody else was interviewed four times, too, because we're so security conscious. And Jesus talks about security. You wouldn't need security if we live in a secure world. But since the fall, since the Garden of Eden, we don't live in a secure world. We live in a dangerous world. We live in a very insecure world, in a very unsecured place. And that's why Jesus talks about security. Soul security. Eternal security. Well, I don't know what doctrine you're used to. If you're a Presbyterian from way back, and we've got a few Presbyterians in this church, you're used to hearing that the doctrine of perseverance of the saints. You're used to hearing it, maybe put this way, the preservation of the saints. If you're a Baptist, like I was raised Baptist, it was eternal security. We're going to talk about that today. Jesus talks about soul security, and here are the verses. John 6, 37, 39, and 56. We've looked at these for several weeks already. We talked about the resurrection last week, and now we're going to talk about the security aspects of these verses today. Listen to this, because this is God's holy word. Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." Verse 39, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise him up the last day." Verse 56, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." There are three components of soul security that Jesus brings out in these three verses. You want security, I want security. Let's talk about it real quick. First component of security is unshakable commitment. Unshakable commitment. Verse 37, "All that the Father has given me will come to me." Well, listen, we've got four different translations here. The New American Standard says, "All who come to me, I will certainly not cast out." And then look at the English Standard translation, which is a brand new translation. "All who come to me, I will never," what? "I'll never cast out." And then the NIV, "I will never drive away." And the New Living Translation, "I will never reject them." Why such different translations? Here's why. Because in the original text of Scripture, Jesus uses a construction that is very unique here. We can't do it in English, but they could do it in Greek. That is, put two knots together. I was telling in the first service that one thing I'm never going to do, because I value my job and I don't want to embarrass myself, is I would never dance up here on stage in front of you. Okay? That's my commitment to you. But that's also a commitment to myself. One of the ladies after church said, "I'll pay you today. I'll pay to see you dance." I said, "How much?" She said, "About $20. Well, I'm not going to do it. I am not going to do it. Now, in English, I can't really say I am not going to do it. But in Greek, you can. And when Jesus first said it in Aramaic, it was translated in Greek, "I will not cast you out." And by using that double negative, Jesus, in the most emphatic way, says, "I have an unshakable commitment to you. Your security in me is because I am absolutely committed to you. And it's never going to fall apart." because I'm committed to you. You say, yeah, cool, that's great, I'm secure. But let me ask you this, can we talk? I'd really like to get the mic and pass it around. I think I'm feeling led right now to have a little confession time. Would you like to do that? How about if we get a couple of mics? I don't know if the sound guys can get those mics. Just kind of go row to row and let everybody kind of confess your sins today. I know, I'll put the rest of my sermon off and we'll just pass it around. Would that be all right? Jimmy, can we start with you? Start over here, all right? Well, we got some guys, I don't know when they're bringing a mic down. Brandon, can I start with you? Not today? I'm looking around. Anybody really, really, really want to come up here and tell all the dirt? Because if you do, you need counseling. What if? I know we're pretty good people. Relative, we're better than pagans, you know what I mean? But what if the thought that you thought this week that you didn't tell that you thought to anybody, the thought that you thought, what if right now that could be broadcast right up here, a little picture that encapsulated your thought and the actual words of what you said, maybe the audio. How'd you feel about that? How about if we captured you on video or film, just doing what you did this week? We caught it. You didn't know you caught it. Would you like that? Neither would I. Can we talk? There are some very good reasons why Jesus might want to say, okay, that's enough. I'm casting you out. I reject you. I know I accepted you, but you went over the line just one too many times. You know, it's just, that's it. Come on. He says, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because he has an unshakable commitment to you. And he puts it in the most emphatic terms. Listen, this is so good. Listen to Romans 8, which is Paul's sort of explanation of the whole basis of our security. Romans 8:31, he says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God. He was also interceding for us. That passage teaches God's unshakable commitment. Irma Bong, that great theologian, said recently, actually years ago, she said, guilt is the gift that keeps on giving. Isn't it? Who gives you the most guilt in your life? Friends. I've got a lot of friends who are so good at guilt. Because I hang around guys a lot, and guys are just good at giving guilt, right? But we give guilt to ourselves, don't we? There's some of you that wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and you say, oh, yes. You got that insecurity in your heart, you feel guilty for this, you feel guilty for that. But what does the text of Scripture say? It says, God has graciously given us all things. Jesus is gracious. While you're giving guilt to yourself, while other people are dishing out guilt to you, Jesus is dishing out grace. He's chosen you. He's called you. He's justified you. Through faith in him, you are justified. That means you're not guilty anymore for your sins. He's declared you not guilty. And then no one can condemn you. They'd come up and say, you ought to go to hell. And you'd say, you know you're right. And you don't even know the half of it. I like the story of the time when the great American evangelist D.L. Moody took a boat over to England to see the great British preacher Charles Spurgeon. And Moody was a rather corpulent individual, and so he gets off the boat, goes over to Spurgeon's house. Spurgeon smokes cigars. Spurgeon opens the door, smoking a cigar, and Moody is absolutely blown away. He looks up at him and he says, how could you do that? Spurgeon takes his finger and points it at Moody's belly and he says, in the same way that you can do that. We all got stuff. No longer how long we No matter how long we've followed Jesus, we've all got stuff. Is there reason to let us go? But He won't. Because of His commitment to you based on the cross. Jesus has an unshakable commitment to you. Catch this. He is the sovereign King of the universe. He came after you. And that can never be shaken. Even if you sin, you're still His. The second component to our security with Him, our soul security, is not only unshakable commitment, but undistracted attention. Look at verse 39. I love this. Undistracted attention. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I lose none of all that He has given me, but raise them up on the last day. I lose none of all that He has given me, but raise them up. I lose stuff. Do you lose stuff? Some of you are, I look around and some of you are going, I don't lose anything because you're focused. And then I look around and some of you are going, yeah, because you're not focused. And you lose stuff. I will never forget in college losing my dad's ring that he had gotten in Europe during World War II. It was a silver ring with his initials on it that he got in Europe. He gave it to me, and I lost it. It was so valuable. You can't replace something like that. I thought about it this morning, obviously. Stuff that's valuable. And I lost it. I've learned since that there are things that you... I've learned how not to lose something that's valuable. I like good pens, right? So I got a couple of good pens. And I like good pens. And I've learned how not to lose... I know some of you you could buy a brand new Mount Blanc pen every week if you lost it, but you use Bic because you lose them all the time. But here's how you don't lose something that's valuable to you. You ready? This is very simple. It's free today. You focus on it with 100% attention. You focus on it with 100% attention. You come to me, you say, Pete, can I borrow your pen? I'll loan it, but I won't take my eyes off you. You walk down the aisle, we're walking down the aisle, I'll find my assistant, Charlene, and I'll say, Charlene, would you go get Chris? He's got my pen. He walked away with it again. You know? 100% attention. And that's why God will never lose you. Because He has 100% attention on you. 24/7, 365. Not only does He have the sovereign power, He has got an undeterred concentration on your life. He knows where you are. You're never lost in a crowd. I know. Sometimes you think, He doesn't even know where I am. Oh, He does. He can pick you out of a crowd. He knows everybody who's here because He's sovereign. You say, that's scary. I know, it would be. If He didn't love you so much. If He didn't love you so much, if your sins hadn't already been paid for, then His constant attention on you would scare you to death, but it doesn't need to. Security like we've never, ever seen, absolutely seen before. Unshakable commitment, undistracted attention. He never gets, and the third one is uninterrupted relationship. Verse 56, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Now, remember, we got this cleared up. He's not talking about cannibalism. He's saying, those who trust me, remain in me. It's the word that he uses in John 15, in that great passage, abide in me, remains, is the same word, abide. Remain in me, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus says, whoever is mine remains with me, abides in me. And do you notice that the security of our soul is all dependent upon Him? He is the one who keeps eternal security. I believe in eternal security. The Baptist, you believe in eternal security? You should. But it's not because of what you've done. It's because of what He has done. You preserve... You preservation of the saints, perseverance of the saints, Presbyterians. Do you believe God is holding on to you? Absolutely. It's all Him. He came after you. And you're way too valuable for Him to ever let go. One of the little confessions, since I didn't make you confess, I'll confess. One of the hard parts about being a pastor is that I know so many people, and there's so many good people, and I just don't get to know, I don't get to know you as well as I'd like to. I sometimes feel that I'm a mile wide and an inch deep. I'd like to spend more time getting to know more of you, better, deeper, because you guys are incredible people. And sometimes I think, how in the world does God keep up with all these relationships that He has? Have you ever thought, He's not listening to me now when I pray because He's listening to Pete? You should, because I'm a little more spiritual than you, and He probably is. God is sovereign. And what that means is that He has the way, in His infinite ability, to maintain a close, in-depth, abiding relationship with you at the same time as He does it with you. And only He can do that perfectly. Only He can do that perfectly. That's security. That's security. Having said that, there are some relationships, I believe, that have to be a little bit insecure. Have you ever thought about that? See, I believe in eternal security with God, but there are some relationships where there needs to be a little bit of insecurity. Business owners, presidents, managers, leaders. How about if you came to go to work on Monday and you see your people that work for you and you say, you know, hey, by the way, I want you to know there's 100% commitment around here all the time for anything. You can do whatever you want. I love you and you'll have a job here forever. Don't worry about that. How's that going to fly? Does capitalism work on the basis of total security? No. Socialism doesn't work either. Communism doesn't work either on that basis. Because if you accept me and I can't lose my job, I'll do whatever I want. And my performance will go down to a very low level. Because why work? But there are some relationships where that doesn't work. Notably, in our relationship with our friends. Sure, we'll stay connected if you live up to this standard. In our relationship with our spouse, you know, honey, I'm going to be here as long as you do X, Y, Z. Doesn't work. Kids? With our kids, this is a good one. Those little Philistines wrapped up with joy and larceny all at the same time. I will love you if and when you... How about a relationship with God? See, there are some relationships where there is an inbuilt insecurity. They bring out the worst in us and not the best in us. And that's why Jesus says, listen, I'm going to bring the best out of you. Because of what I did, you're mine, and you're mine forever. And I'm never taking my eyes off you. And I love you far more than you even know. Guys, this is the application of this is a tough one for guys. This is, and for women too, because you guys are catching up with us. Isn't that wonderful? All the rights and the privileges in the workplace, we live in a very performance-oriented world where it's all about what you produce. Ladies, you're catching up. You get to experience the heart attacks and the ulcers that guys have historically been experiencing for a long time. But dads, can we talk? We got to shift gears when we come home. It can't be the performance standard that's put on you at work. You got to shift gears. You got to punch the clock. You got to do something different. Because some relationships fall apart when they're built on insecurity. And they just can't thrive. Romans 8:39 says this. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I came across an obscure little letter from a World War I soldier in the trenches in Europe. And he wrote this note to his dad, and at the end of the note he said, "I love you more than I have ever told you. I love you, Dad, more than I have ever told you." God can never be brought to the charge that he has not told us over and over and over again, "I love you." He's proved it on the cross. And he holds us. What does this do for our life? Applications. Number one, this makes us worship. This idea that we are secure with the God of the universe brings us to our knees in worship. That's one reason why we come on Sunday morning. Is not because we got it all together. But because we don't have it all together. We're still in this world. And this is like a hospital. The very Saturday nights you think, you know, I shouldn't go to church tomorrow because I really messed up big. Those are the days you need to come for sure. Why? Because we can confess our sins here. Because we can come and not play a game. We can come here and know that we're His forever. Worship comes when you understand the good news, but when you understand the eternality of the good news as well. The second application is this. From understanding the security from God, give God the benefit of the doubt when it comes to things that go on in your life. Give Him the benefit of the doubt. What do you mean? I mean is this. When there's chaos and stuff doesn't work out, when it's bad, and what you want to say is, "God, why in the world did you let that happen?" When you want to say, "God, do you really love me? If you love me, you would have done that." Give Him the benefit of the doubt. And he might say this to you, "Son, daughter, what do you mean? I don't love you. I've got an unshakable commitment to you. Look how you messed up. You're still mine, right? Look how I know where you are all the time. I'm looking at you. I got you." He looks at us and He knows everything, but He loves us anyway. Give Him the benefit of the doubt when life doesn't seem to work out exactly like you want. Wait a while. Pray a while. Look for the next door to open. Give Him some time. You know what I found? I've been 21 years here as the pastor and 30 years following Jesus or so. I found it. You know what? I can't look back and say one thing that He didn't somehow turn to good. He does it. Because He's got the big picture and He's got me in it and you in it. Third application is imitate this. You want to be successful relationally. This is what helped me in my key relationships. And I'll tell you, this is a challenge. It is. Do I apply this all the time? No. But I want to. Unshakable commitment, undistracted attention, uninterrupted relationship. I try to do that in my key relationships. A lover is someone who points out everything right, not everything wrong. Imitate this. God is not constantly looking at you and saying, "You're not measuring up." He looks at you and He says, "My son measured up for you. You're free." Do you give encouragement and praise? Do you blame others for all of your problems? Are you a martyr sometimes? Do you threaten to leave or end the relationship? Do you get out the hammer to get your way? No, you don't need to. This is the way to model relationships with those you love, those who are closest to you. Fourth application is, this kind of security makes you bold. This morning a friend of mine sent me a video. You know, we get so many good videos, I could spend hours and hours a week just looking at those YouTubes and GodTubes and whatever tube videos that come my way. If I had it set up, I could show it to you this morning, but it's a great story of John Chalice. in Western Pennsylvania, who was a sports nut. And about his junior year or sophomore year in high school, he went to the doctor because he wasn't feeling good. They diagnosed him. They took some x-rays and the MRI and all that. And they found out he had a 10-pound tumor in his stomach. 10-pound tumor. I can't even imagine that. He was a sports nut. He's a sports nut, and they got it out. And well, he graduated. He graduated from high school, but he's going to die. It's metastasized other parts of his body. His philosophy is courage plus belief equals life. Courage plus belief equals life. I think that courage comes from God. Courage comes from security. Courage from security and belief in Jesus Christ equals life, even if you face death. That's how I want to live. That's how I want to live. I want to have security in my relationships with other people. But most of all, I want to know that I'm secure with Him. Because then it helps me be bold and provide security and love for others. Security starts with Him. And if you have it, it bleeds out into every other relationship and changes lives. We take it to heart. Let's pray. Let's do a little business, because I know some of you were raised in homes where there was no security at all. In fact, it was a very insecure environment. It was all about performance. And you never knew. You were like a cat on a hot tin roof. You never knew if you were accepted. You never knew if you were loved. And so here today I say to you that you who are Christians, do you have security in your relationship with the God of the universe? Do you know that He loves you? Today, if you don't have that security, if you think, when you die and you stand before Him, He might just say, no, you messed up one too many times. If you even feel a little bit that way, pray this prayer. Lord God, today, take these scriptures and put them in my heart, that I might know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am Yours. Let me know that my soul is secure with You. Let me know that I am loved deeply. Transform the way I think so that the gospel gives me security. And then for others of you, would you like to have security? Maybe you have never come to a point in your life where you've ever done any business with God, and you would like to know today that your sins could be dealt with forever, once and for all, that you could be held on to in this life and in the life to come, so that God could be a father to you and develop you. If you've never embraced Him as your Savior, pray something like this. God, today, from the inside, I ask You to come in, to forgive. I ask You, Jesus Christ, today to become my Savior. And to help me know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am forgiven and that I belong to You. Develop me. Show me even my sins. Show me how I can have a better life. But Lord, help me to know that I'm forgiven forever. Father, we come to You today as Your people. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You went to the effort in this great, great sermon of Yours to tell us that we belong to You and always will. Give us security and a boldness that comes from our secure relationship with You. That we pray these things in Your strong and holy name.
Willow Creek Church is associated with the Presbyterian Church in America. Our website is www.willowcreekchurch.org, and our phone number is 407-699-8211.